Welcome to the Parenting is Hard Work podcast. This is Dr. Scott Taransky, and I'm here with Elena Svetslot from the Netherlands. And Elena, what are we going to talk about today as we try to help parents?
Hi, everyone. Hi, Dr. Scott. Yes, really good to be talking together again. Today, we talk about a very, very known topic, I'm sure, to many parents. We talk about selfishness. Selfishness, what it is, how it shows. I'm sure most of us know. But we would love to hear your view on that. And we would love to hear a bit more into how do we manage, how do we deal with that when it shows so often in our children? How do we help them? So, Dr. Scott, I know you have a chapter of your new book, Equipping Your Child to Self-Regulate Emotions. That's the new book you have out. And I know chapter 4 starts with talking about selfishness. But why don't you get us started by introducing us to how do you actually define selfishness and how do you think of it?
Yes. Okay. First of all, the book you're referring to is this free ebook that people can find on my website at biblicalparenting.org. It's at the top of the page right now, and it's called Equipping Children to Self-Regulate Emotions. So one of the challenges, not the only challenge with emotion, we don't want to suggest that all negative emotions come from selfishness, but certainly some of them do. And so we need to address this issue of self-focused tendencies that some children have that provoke inside of them emotional challenges. It also, though, the problem of selfishness affects children being able to follow instructions that they don't want to do. It's a defense mechanism when children are corrected that they're selfish and then they don't want to admit they've done something wrong. Often children's desires are so strong that they can't accept no as an answer because they want what they want. It's certainly a problem in sibling conflict where children, they are often selfish and want to be first or best. So I think there's a lot to be said here about how to deal with sibling conflict and these other things, and emotions in particular when it comes to selfishness. So let's talk about it and see where we can go and how we can help parents address some of these topics.
Yeah, in your book, you start saying that selfishness is dangerous, and that it's makes a person more prone to anger, sadness, and anxieties. And we've spoken about these topics and these emotions on the podcast before. Why do you say that it's dangerous? How does it impact now and for the future children? You mentioned a bit, but how? In what way does it show that can really impact negatively?
Well, first of all, let's recognize that selfishness is a common problem that we all have as people because we all have a sin nature. And the essence of the sin nature is self-focused tendencies. I want what I want and therefore engage in all kinds of activities to get what I want. And so it becomes this problem. Now, I think it's dangerous because the person who's selfish is a person who tends to be unhappy in life because they don't get what they want. And life's full of times we don't get what we want. Selfish is also dangerous because of the relational component to it. I mean, if we're going to interact with anybody in any relationship, whether it's a parent-child relationship or it's sibling conflict or just friendship or work or something like that, selfishness can get us into a lot of trouble. And I think that children are growing out of some of their selfish tendencies when they develop more godly responses. Now, sometimes the Holy Spirit just comes into our lives and we become less selfish people. But many times he uses the process of sanctification to grow us. And many children aren't saved yet. And so it's the parents' responsibility to try to create this internal structure where selfishness can be addressed so that the Lord can come in and do some more vivid work in a child's life. So selfishness affects a lot of things. It certainly affects emotions because in all three big emotions, the anger, sadness, and anxiety that we talk about in the book, if a person is focused on themselves, then they're more prone to be angry. They're more prone to mishandle disappointment, and they can be more anxious. So Part of the solution to emotional health is to become less self-focused, which means we're going to be focusing more on others and certainly more focused on the Lord. If we can start focusing on the Lord more and what God wants to do in our lives, it does a lot to remove the selfishness that often plagues us. So I think that's why it's dangerous. And I think there's some practical things we can do to help children overcome the selfish tendencies they have.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the more I think about our society currently and how our culture develops and how the way in which we have learned to interact with each other, I think there's such a focus on selfishness and focusing on what we want and what we our own needs and what makes us happy and happiness, we want to be happy, that sometimes it's very challenging to actually see or distinguish between what is selfishness and what is not selfishness. So I think it's so important for parents to calibrate and to have that right caliber that's biblical and that really sets the standards to say, okay, we focus on somebody else or someone else and not fully on ourselves. And I think sometimes, like you mentioned, Dr. Scott, we are sinners and we have that tendency. And I'm very interested, Dr. Scott, to hear more about that. I don't want to call it necessarily a solution, but a way in which we can calibrate to a standard that is biblical, and we can also help our children do that. How would you start there?
All right, so we have to realize that in a family we've got a lot of we've got all kinds of humans in this family, all of whom have a bent towards selfishness. So we have to check ourselves as parents. I mean, are there some things that we could do differently in our parenting that would elicit a more positive response out of our kids? But let's zero in on the children, because I think that's what we're trying to do is address kids and their particular challenges. We like to start with the instruction routine. And because when you call a child's name, for example, to come and receive an instruction, that child has to give up something. They have to give up the concentration. They have to give up the project. They have to give up the focus that they have on what they're doing. And they have to go and respond to a parent's call for them to come. That exercise in itself is so valuable, because inside of a child's heart, they're learning how to give up their agenda. And that's not easy for many children who are pretty focused on what they're doing. When I work with children with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, those kids often don't hear their names called. Why? Because they're so intently focused on their project or what they're doing that they can't hear the parent. And so what we do is we raise the awareness level of a child to the parent calling the name. So it takes practice to do that. But then we go in our coaching program, we enter into this idea of honor. Now, honor is another way to offset selfishness, because honor means I'm valuing other people. I'm considering their point of view. I'm looking for things that need to be done without being asked. This is such a great tool that God has given children to work on, because it helps them to address much of their own issues inside of their hearts, this selfishness that they have. So honor becomes this very important tool, I think, that God has placed in family life, where children can learn how to practice giving up their agenda, giving up their self-focused tendencies, to think about how someone else might feel. All of that. All of this takes work. It takes practice sessions with children, but I think that's going to be a key element as we're trying to help children make some changes. And that's just in the getting things done department, in the trying to focus on accomplishing things in family life.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to start indeed with children, and it can be done at any age. Really, I know sometimes I do it with very young children, so yeah, it's really a way to get started. Dr. Scott, are there different ways to think about dealing with selfishness at different ages? I'm wondering if somebody who's having teenagers and somebody who has younger children should think of things in a different way?
That's a good question. Let's start at the beginning. When a child is an infant, this child is very self-focused, and rightly so. They cry when they don't get the bottle, or they need to be changed often. So, and what do we do as parents? We cater to them and we help them. And the reason we do that is because we're building something inside of that child. We're building trust. We want them to recognize the world's a safe place. When they cry out, there's a response. All of that trust building we do in the early months of a child's life is very important. But when that child moves to be a toddler, all of a sudden the toddler can move around now, is talking, learning how to talk. And so now that child is learning how to fit into society, can't have all that she wants when she wants it. And that's a challenge for many toddlers. And that's why we sometimes call it the terrible twos or something like that, because parents hit this wall where children now are reacting to the fact that they can't have everything they want. And so we're doing a lot of work with them to help them handle disappointment and accept no as an answer and learn how to follow instructions, even at 2 years old. So they're, as a toddler, children are learning then how to respond better. Now, when they get to be preschoolers, we have two primary qualities we're working on. We're working on self-control and we're working on responsiveness to authority. Both of those address the selfishness in a child. So if we don't make the parenting shift, we have a problem. There are some parents who have four-year-olds that are treating them like infants and giving them everything that they want. And when that takes place, we then encourage the selfishness in ways that are detrimental for that child. Children must learn to live in society. And society for a child is at first a family. And that means you have to give up your agenda. You don't get everything you want. And so we're working hard in a preschooler's life to teach them those very important qualities and to teach them how to contribute. So that's where we are when the young children. Let's jump up to teenage years, because when a child's a teenager, especially when they're a young teenager, 13, 14 years old, there can be this reversion back to selfishness again, where this child is very self-focused, wants what they want, and they get angry when they don't get it. And so again, we're having to help them at their developmental stage learn how to give up their agenda, and they have to learn how to contribute to family life, and they can't have everything they want. And so when their parents spend a lot of time giving them what they want, or they're asking the child, did you have fun today, as their evaluation of the day, then children start to believe that my job in life is to have fun. It's all about me. And we have to change that perception, because it isn't about me. It's about how can I contribute to the world? How can I be a responsible disciple of Christ? I mean, 13, 14-year-olds need to learn that, and it's important for them to do so. So at every age, there is this call to give up your agenda, think about other people, learn how to contribute, show honor, and recognize that a lot of the emotional challenges that a person has are because they're just focused on self. Mm-hmm. That's not all of them. I don't want to imply that all emotional challenges come from selfishness, because they don't. But some of them do. And to the extent that a child is self-focused, they often experience more emotional challenges than others do. So this is a very important concept that we work on with children in order to break down some of the selfish tendencies. So this is a lot of work, but an important area that we work on at all developmental stages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And would you give some examples, Dr. Scott, if somebody has a teenager, or let's say a teen, a preteen, who's starting to show those signs of selfishness, what would you encourage them to start doing? Let's say they really don't know anything about our parenting program. How would you get them started?
All right. When we start bringing change into a child's life, we do it in the most positive way possible. That's one of the things that makes the Biblical Parenting Coaching Program work. Mm-hmm. Many times as we present it to the child recognizes and sees what's going on and recognizes their need to change, sees the expectations are different, and we see some good change take place in that child. Now, some children, they're just oppositional and they react to anything, but we try to present it as positively as possible. So we recommend that the parent first do some homework. And the parents say, okay, what form of selfishness are we going to work on? Maybe we're going to work on the sibling conflict issue, which is wanting to be first or best, or putting other people down, or tattling, or just being foolish and teasing beyond what is good. Teasing isn't always bad, but There's some teasing that crosses the line, and that's when people get hurt. So let's say we want to focus in on this area of kindness or graciousness in relationships. So what we do is we have a meeting with a child and we say, okay, look, hey, you're 14 years old now. A lot of good things going on in your life. We can see that you're growing up in some very important ways. You seem to be being more diligent in your work with your schooling and getting that turned in. We find now that you are that your work with the dog, like we asked you to do, you're doing those things. One of the areas we want to help you with now has to do with the way that you treat your sister. It's very important to realize that your sister, I agree, your sister's annoying sometimes, but knowing how to relate to a younger sister is important. And if you can learn how to relate in that environment, then good things can happen. So here's what I want to do. I want to send you on a mission to spend 5 minutes with your sister and come out of that 5 minutes with her laughing or feeling good about that time with you, and come back and report to me about what that looked like. So now what we're trying to do is help a child think empathetically, that is, think about someone else instead of themselves, to go in on a task when it's limited in scope or time of 5 minutes, and we're focusing in then on success so that we can affirm the progress they made, and we can draw attention to that internal blessing that they have. You know, when you're kind, there's that internal blessing that the conscience provides that we want to draw attention to. So in all of this, then, what we're doing is we're encouraging this idea of non-selfishness, or being unselfish or kind with a sibling. Now, sometimes a child will be selfish anyway, and in that case, we do have to go to correction. But we find that the most powerful way to bring about change in any child's life has to do with training. So sending them on positive tasks to work on this is going to be much more productive than continuing saying, stop it, stop it, stop it, because training is more powerful than correction alone. So we want to look for ways to bring about training at any age, but in this case with a 14-year-old, requiring that they turn off the electronics, go do something with someone else, report to me that you what you did, look for ways to serve, you know, all of these things that assignments that we give that can start building these new patterns inside of young people as they're growing that will counter some of the selfish tendencies that they have.
Dr. Scott, one more question around this area of selfishness before we close. How would you talk to a child who is old enough to understand about how God relates to selfishness, and how is that? How would you do that to explain to them?
I think that spiritual training is very important, especially in regards to this idea of selfishness. I think that we can tell stories of selfishness taking place. For example, when the man hid the wealth under his tent, when Joshua was told, hey, don't take anything when you go conquer this town. And then they failed at Ai, and they go back and find out, you know, hey, here's this man who hid this. You know, he's just being selfish. That's what motivated him to do that. And so we can tell Bible stories. We can tell us Bible stories like the Good Samaritan with children, so that they can learn very practical ways in which unselfishness is so valuable and important. Mm-hmm. So look, I think spiritual training is very important because the Holy Spirit speaks to children. Mm. So we can say, okay, why don't you ask the Lord for some way that you can be unselfish today. What is he saying to you? So this experiential part of the Christian life then is quite valuable. We not only have the teaching part from God's word, but the Holy Spirit's work in a child's life can produce some of this Holy Spirit-filled experience. And even if a child's not a Christian, the Holy Spirit's still working in the lives of people who aren't Christians. And so maybe not to the same extent that a Christian, but they still have this call of the Holy Spirit in their lives to do what's right. So I do think that teaching children to rely on God and to recognize that God ultimately wants us to grow in this is powerful for us to make some changes here.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's indeed very true. And I think stories are helpful as well. especially reading together from the Bible, indeed, and letting the child or asking them questions and letting them see how selfishness, how it looks also in the eyes of God, but also from the outside. And I think also giving examples from their own lives, you know, at school, or reflecting on not necessarily someone else's behavior, but reflecting on the impact that some of this can have on other people. I think that can be very powerful as well. I think sometimes it's hard for us to help children become aware also of their selfishness or see it, just because we are so used to it. So I really like that, Dr. Scott, giving them examples, giving them stories. Really powerful. Very good, and thank you so much for that. So again, we encourage parents to get started on their journey. I believe that a very powerful tool is coming on call, like you have mentioned. I think that's something that you can train at any age. It doesn't matter how old you are, how old your child is. When their name is being called, they should report immediately, and they should have the right attitude with it. So that's something that's very powerful, and I think it's going to bring about quite some changes already. And before we give the last ideas of the podcast, Dr. Scott, I just want to encourage parents who are listening to this podcast to take a few seconds and give a short review for the podcast. That helps us to reach more parents, to reach more families who are in need of this practical help that we are sharing. And if you would like to make some comment, or if you would like to send us messages, you can always find us on our social media, and also biblicalparenting.org and parentingishardwork.org. Dr. Scott, any final thoughts on selfishness today?
If you're going to help children to change in this area, I think it's best to focus on where you want to go, not just where you are. If we focus on selfishness, keep saying, stop being selfish, then we're not telling children where we want them to go. It would be best if we talk about words like cooperation or kindness or graciousness, that we're talking about contribution. All of these words are words that are the opposite of selfishness. And so selfishness is pretty pervasive. So I think choosing an area to work on this can be helpful. And it's encouraging for children to see, I have a goal, a heart goal that I'm trying to work on. I want to be a person who's contributing. And then we look for ways to contribute. So I would say focus on the positive, not just on the negative. And you'll get more results as you're trying to bring about change in your child. I think that's going to be a key element here. I think the book that we talked about, this free ebook, is a great book because it has some ideas about dealing with emotions in general, and all children experience these emotions. So it's important for them to realize that selfishness can be a problem that creates more emotional drama in their lives. And it's one of the areas they want to target. So I think reading that book is a good solution as well.
Yeah, what a blessing to have such a book free and available to everyone. So indeed, we do encourage every parent to go online to find it and to download it and to read it and start putting into practice. Dr. Scott, thank you so much for your time today. And until next time, God bless you.